But Mary, treasuring all these things, pondered them in her heart. In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
In the cradle of Holy Scripture, Mary treasures in her heart the things that she had heard, the things that she had seen, and all the things that she had experienced at the hands of God. This young virgin held the Creator of all things in the crook of her arm, amazed that she was staring into the very eyes and into the very flesh of God. She certainly remembered the fearful yet joyous look of the shepherds as they beheld this holy child Jesus, long foretold in sacred story and psalm. She recalls the startling visit of the angel Gabriel 9 months before this, telling her of her puzzling pregnancy without a man. And yet she cannot forget the deep love that Joseph, her betrothed, showed to her in not divorcing her publicly or quietly, but caring for her and guarding the child. She ponders not only the past, but also the ancient words that she learned as a child. A shoot will sprout from the roots of Jesse, and a Nazarene will ascend from the root, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. She recalled with amazement, "And you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you who are too little among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from you one who is to be ruler in all of Israel, whose origins is from the days of eternity." And as she looked down upon her Lord, yet her son, lying in a manger where ox and ass would feed, she remembered the angel's words, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the Most High, by His power, will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And so as the lips of this baby boy suckled at her breast, she now knew fully with her own eyes that God had truly become man for man, whose power was one with the eternal Father, and who would by His very body give His life as a ransom that we might have a kingdom of heavenly peace. Indeed, there was so much to treasure, so much to ponder that night, so much to take in. So it is for us as well this Christmas Eve, as it awakens in us many things, many thoughts, old and new. Certainly there are the Christmases of days past, more somber, where we remember that every chair was filled with a cheerful face, and where the house echoed with great laughter, and the future seemed very merry and bright. And then there are the Christmases of today, where the table is set maybe for two, but perhaps only for one. The sound of merriment often comes from a TV program these days, or an old family video that you keep watching over and over again. And the future maybe has narrowed considerably, and its brightness has dimmed by way of fear or isolation to a small glimmer. And like Mary, there is no shortage of things to ponder, both memorable but also menacing. Things that are joyous but also things that are quite jaded. The past, the present, the future all seem to have their own playlists that are playing in our minds as we embrace this eve of a uniquely cherished and holy night. Through the lens of Mary, we ponder with amazement the account of our Lord's birth, but not so as an airbrushed or crystallized moment in time. Yes, we often want that. We desire that. Time's frozen in a particular way that makes static the feelings of being loved, the feelings of being needed, the feelings of being special to someone. But we cannot also help but ponder the reason for why the eternal Son of God descended from heaven to earth. Why things move from old to new, or new to old, excuse me. Why gregarious laughter will sometimes or often turn to grief. Why dreams turn into nightmares. Why love will turn cold. And why life gives way to death. The answer is both simple and complex. It is because of sin. It is because of our sin. This is what makes the world such a sinister and vile and dark and lonely place. It's sin. And it's not just our world. It's not just out there. It's also in here, in our hearts as well. For we don't like to do so, but if we were to ponder as well the last 11 and a half months and remember the hurtful words that we blurted out in anger, the kind words that we often forgot to say but had hoped we would, the negative assumptions that we made about people that we looked down upon, or the ugly desires that would make Rudolph's red nose blush far greater red. Good intentions that were never carried out, and yet always finding words to criticize or condescend or take revenge or complain. The fears that froze our hearts and our hands to love one another as we have been loved by our God. And yet, in the midst of all our little towns of Bethlehem, where cries of how long seep through the cracks of dark streets, come shining forth is the fleshly light of rescue. As we sing, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So it is that light meets darkness in the Holy Child of Jesus. The life-giving flesh of God meets the death-destroying flesh of man in the Holy Child of Jesus. The man of heaven meets the man of death in the Holy Child of Jesus. The hope of eternal years meets the deceiver of limited years in the Holy Child of Jesus. For with cries like ours, he enters our world so that every man may know that he comes for him. And that is regardless if they listen to the Christmas angels, regardless if they come in haste and in homage just like the shepherds, regardless if they cry out for him who lies in mean estate this night. He comes for all, even though all do not receive him. And so tonight we ponder, but we do not just simply reminisce. We are given promises tonight. We are given gifts that are most rare and are to be cherished in the child who bears our human fleshly woe. A night of joy, for the Savior is born unto you. A night of light, for we who have walked in darkness have seen a great light that beams from the Holy Child's face. A night of peace where the infant shepherd and priest leads us beyond the veil of sin and death to the very birth and death of his own flesh. A night of love and forgiveness, but not so of our own will, not so of our own flesh or our own desire, but through the will and the flesh of him who loved us and forgives us in the midst of our own sin. A night of grace. And here is the amazing thing, that if we were the only one needing rescue, God would not have hesitated but he would have come to us as if he were coming to an entire world. For you are in your person as he has created you, a creation of his own hand, of whom he is well pleased, and he would not give it a second thought to come down from heaven to rescue you. And a night of life where we know that we have no lasting city here. No matter how well we build with our hands the dwellings that we have, our hands only lead to destruction and death. But the work of this babe, his hands, his feet, and his side shall be for us an eternal home where we shall together forever abide. And though Mary would not ponder it for at least some time, and Saint Simeon would prophesy concerning it to Mary and Joseph, the light of Jesus' redeeming body would reach his destiny not in a holy palace or an ivory throne, but only 5 miles from the sleepy little town of Bethlehem in a desolate place called Golgotha. Though you won't see it in any nativity scenes, swaddling cloths were one day traded for a crown of thorns, and those cute dimples and stubby fingers to blood-stained cheeks and nail-pierced hands. His love for us was far more than sentimental. It is of its essence sacrificial. So even as we sing the carols of Christmas that warm our hearts, even mine, as you sang that hymn, O come, all ye faithful, and it sweetly does fill the night air, we ponder with Mary that our redemption and our eternal life only begins here. It proceeds on and is accomplished upon a cross. It is ratified in a Roman tomb. It is delivered in the infant priest's holy body and blood that we eat and drink. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given in his body and blood. So we ponder with Mary and with the angels and the shepherds and with Joseph and with each other and even also with those who rejoice with us but in a greater light eternally with Christ, that our God has become flesh and he has given himself to us. And by that flesh, he gives us the things that make for eternal peace. We do this even when our hearts do not feel so merry and hopeful, when it does not feel like Christmas outside. For this night is not about pondering our happiness meter, how content we are with our life, or how broken our life has become. It's about pondering and treasuring what child is this that lies sleeping on the lap of Mary. That this one is God himself, come in the flesh to rescue us from a world of sin and sadness and death. That we would embrace the true joy of his birth for us and to content ourselves with his gifts. That tonight the Son of God is begotten of the Father from eternity to have mercy on us and to restore us to the life that we have broken. And that a world that wants nothing to do with him, with his holy child Jesus, is proclaimed in this place that he wants everything to do with them. Tonight, as your ears have heard the narrative of the birth of God into our flesh, as your lips will and have sung of the love and the mercy that comes to us in the holy child of Jesus, and as we receive the body and blood of this child, let us first join with Mary, with all the saints and in heaven and on earth, pondering and treasuring that unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given, that we would have the joy of confessing as dear children of God that are destined to see this Son of God of ours in heaven with all the treasures of a wonderland of eternity, where pondering will give way to eternal and everlasting sight. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.